Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes!
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high.
Yo, ho, 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 it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Jack, well, I know this city for this weekend was buzzing with billboards and excitement about a certain star player coming to play in Philadelphia. You couldn't care less, I'm guessing. You were just locked in on the Phil's debacle. We win last night, but a tough weekend for our boy. A tough stretch after the All-Star game so far. How you feeling? Are you feeling the LeBron juice, or are you just like mired right now?
Yeah, I mean, I felt it for a day. And like, yeah, of course. It was one of the coolest things that ever happened. And they did steal the bit. You know, it happened in the middle of my drive to work. So
hilarious.
Every piece of news happens at 11:36 or 6:06.
Yeah.
The Jaylen Brown trade was 6:06. Jesus Lizardo was 6:06. Schwarber was 11 in the morning. All these other Brad Keller, 11 in the morning. LeBron James, 11 in the morning. It's unbelievable. Like, why don't you, like, I know it's drive time, but like, I don't know. We're trying to do our jobs and at the same time. So if they could just be a little bit more courteous. Yes, a little bit more courteous. Yeah, me and Walker went down to the old ballpark together on Saturday to try to save the season.
Oh, look at that. Didn't work out Saturday, huh?
No, it didn't. It didn't. And I tell you what, they really feel like they're playing out the string until they make a trade.
It feels like the Thompson thing. It's like they're just waiting for something to happen. It's like, guys, can we not do this, please?
Like, you're playing the Dodgers and the Yankees. Like,
At home!
This is not time to be like, wake me up on August 3rd. Uh-uh, what are we doing? What are we doing? Ultimately, they're going to be okay. But my goodness, like every single night, here's a wart, there's a wart. Trade for this, don't trade for that. What prospects are on the table? I have no freaking idea. Do you have, like, this has got to be the toughest deadline for Dave Dombrowski and Preston and Co. and John Middleton, of course, because they have a lot of holes. They don't have the deepest farm system. Who do they trade? Who do they not trade? Is this team worth investing in? Keeping the window open, blah, 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 blah. It's going to be a really, really fascinating next week leading up to the trade deadline.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been kind of waiting for this since they got back into the season, you know, since we realized it wasn't going to be a miserable summer where they were going to be 10 games under and it was over. Once they got back into it, we knew they were going to compete. And we've talked about so much the way the season shaked out with the American League being a mess and the NL just dominating and all these teams in the National League competing and so few actual sellers, so few teams out of it. Cause like you can make the playoffs with a sub 500 record in the American League right now, it seems like. So it's like that added to the fact that you talked about where we knew coming into the year was a tough situation because we knew the club wasn't perfect. It was going to have flaws. And you made the great point. It's like they don't have this like wealth of guys to trade away without completely decimating the farm system. And the Middleton thing, where I don't want to go through that decade again, how important that's been to them. But to your point, you said, I mean, this is a group that if not now, never. You know, like, this is it. Like, if you're going to invest in this specific group, like, this is the deadline to do it. So, I don't even know what to do. I really don't. Part of me says, just freaking go for it with this group. If we're going to, like, part of it now, just try. But another part of me goes back to that decade and says, man, really? Are we, for like, a half a season of someone, are we going to do that? I am so torn, man. I can only imagine being Dombrowski and Mattingly and all those guys and having the pressure of these decisions on you, it's a tough spot.
Well, and on top of this, you already have a high payroll. How much more can they really add?
Another great point.
To the payroll. Yeah, I mean, that's got to be factored in as well. Now, I'm sure the All-Star game being here has been good for the funds. You know, I'm sure that there are some extra maybe laying around.
Can they get some of this like LeBron money? He's going to talk about all the influx to the city. It's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars. It's going to mean to the city. How about we get a little Phillies, you know?
Yeah, come on, Bronny. We got
brotherly love, you know?
Titletown USA. Titletown USA. But
real quick, just to that idea, I mean, if this team can make a run, I mean, like mid to late October has a chance to be one of the great sports times in the history of this city. So, like, let's go, Phils.
And when there's no baseball next year, at least we're going to have LeBron. To carry to the final. So you got to factor that in as well.
That was a really sad sentence, but yes.
Well, I don't know if you've been following, but it certainly doesn't seem like
it's not looking good. No, I'm not super optimistic right now. Yeah, I know.
No. So, yeah. It's gonna be really, 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 really interesting. I am already, because I kind of get the feeling that they're ready to go all in. I do. Like, as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, I believe more that they're gonna make a bunch of moves.
Dombrowski said it, but we know that, like, you know, you can't. He said Ben Brown was untouchable and whatever it was, like, oh, Hoppy's untouchable. We know the GM say stuff, but it does. And look, the reports are, you know, every year Dave's going to go all in, but you believe this, he's going to this year. That's your feeling you're getting.
Yeah, like, I don't know if there's going to be a Duran trade.
It might not be the trade out there, is the point. You know what I mean? That they want, you know?
But I think that they are prepared and positioned to really push the chips in and go for it. Wow. Now, I think there are some untouchables, and we'll get to it. I do have my tiers of prospects.
I saw your tweet, buddy. Trust me, I'm prepared for the tiers.
Good. Man, I tell you what, I love putting out positive prospects stuff.
I know, dude. Well, it's so funny because
it drives people crazy.
Well, it's just funny too, because it is so consistent with you, where, like, my entire feed is people talking about LeBron, and then I'll get a Fritz prospect tweet just like in the middle of it. And it's any big thing that's happening. It's just so consistent. Your tweets will power through no matter what's happening around them.
Listen, you got to stay consistent. If there's one,
you are.
I did tweet like 7 times about LeBron. So, like, I
you got that.
I couldn't stop thinking about LeBron for about 12 hours.
It's unbelievable. It's crazy. It is so crazy that LeBron's a Sixer. It's still surreal.
Yeah, and you know what? And it's time, Mike. It's time, Trouty. I mean, come on. If there's ever a time to do it, like, you know, you want to be closer to Bron, don't you? I mean, I know you're kind of in LA for a long time there.
But yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
It's Anaheim. It's not the same thing. I mean, there's a movement of stars to Philadelphia. Wait till McDavid's a Flyer.
You have McDavid. I love it.
There's a whole thing happening in the city. It'd be a shame if you waste it. Well, I don't know, man. He's
wasted it more. I know.
He might be a different cat. I just think
he is, clearly. I mean, again, especially be one thing just to be out there and to not win and to see other people win. But then the guy who you're like the star with there, it's like the two biggest stars of baseball on this losing team, leaves and wins 2 straight titles. Wouldn't you think that he'd be like, I want to do what Ohtani did? It's so crazy to me.
I know. So we will see. The one thing that I do want to nip in the bud a little bit, because I'm getting real sick and tired of it, just people are such babies. There are a lot of people who are just like, you should sell the deadline. No, we're not selling at the deadline.
That's
not
silly. Yeah.
You're not walking into the clubhouse of Wheeler and Lizardo and Harper and Sanchez and Turner and Schwarber. Like, you know what we're going to do in the middle of all this? We're just going to sell off some pieces. Get ready to trade Duran. Like, it's like a thing you can say, but it's dumb. There's just like, they're not going to do it. There's no point to doing it. They're in playoff contention. They're going through a tough period right now. I think the one silver lining of how they're playing right now is Schwarber, Harper, and Marsh are horrible currently. I mean, Harper has 28 strikeouts in the last 20 games.
Dude, his OPS is down to 840.
I know. His OPS in the last 20 games is in the fives. Marsh is
back 287 all of a sudden.
And his OPS is under 800.
Yeah.
Marsh in the last month has like a 420 something OPS.
That's not bad.
And Schwarber has three home runs in July and hasn't hit one since July 18th. And then before that was just the two back-to-back Reds home runs. And one of them was like in a blowout. So whatever. Like those guys are going, I mean, this is Harper's worst stretch as a Philly.
Is it really?
Yeah. And, and hopefully this is not, we're not looking back and saying, did they mess it up by playing in the home or being a part of the home run derby? But of course that will be brought up. They also had to do it. So that would suck. But like you have those three who have been your steady horses for the offense for a majority of the season, having collectively a bad month, that's going to sink an offense that is already pretty top heavy. So unless you think that this is going to be the rest of the year for these guys and Marsh, I mean, it seems like Mattingly has kind of given up on the idea of him playing every day against left-handed pitching. It was good to see him get the hit off of what Tim Hill last night. But at least with those two, Schwarber and Harper, I'm not going to sit here and believe that they are going to be this for the rest of the season. I mean, a Schwarber hot streak is going to come. Harper's going to heat back up at some point. It was good to see him at least rip that double last night. That was good to see, but he's clearly in between pitches and just out of sorts a little bit. So for as annoying as his homestand has been, as annoying as his offense has been, like when those three are struggling, I'm not surprised the offense is struggling. I just don't think that that's going to last forever.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we talked, look, we know, you know, we've said it a zillion times. Like if especially those two guys, if Schwarber and Harper aren't hitting, they have no chance. You know, it is, you know, we do the whole, like the big guys have to hit, but so do the other guys. Yes, it's all true. But Schwarber and Harper are so incredibly important with the way this is played out that if they don't hit, they really do have no chance. So I look, I'm with you. I think that's it. And again, like they were the second best team in baseball until, you know, recently with the Mattingly high, you know, since Mattingly came on board, you know, I didn't expect them to just run to the playoffs, you know, with the 40 games over the rest of the season, 50, you know what I mean? Like that was at some point they're going to have a lull. It hasn't been that long a lull. Like I'm not freaking out over it, but it just highlights the way the club is built and the fact that those guys have to hit and that there are real holes on this roster that, to really, I mean, look, we know baseball and you get hot in the playoffs, but to really feel like you have a real chance to win the World Series, like they need to make some moves.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. And they know that. So like, again, the part of me is wondering if they're just like playing out the string, waiting for the moves. And then it's like, okay, here we go. That's annoying. But that's what they're playing. I mean, every night they play, it's mostly an uninspiring effort besides, you know, yesterday. That was good to see.
And that was because they had lost two the way they did. If they, you know, you like they didn't show up yesterday, you're really fucking out.
Well, the first two games of the Yankee series were
embarrassing.
We're just atrocious. Yeah. And
especially that, yeah, by the way, the Yankees team has been one of the worst offensive teams in the sport for like a month or whatever, too. You know, it's like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, losing a game 1-0.
Yep.
And then losing a game 3-1. It was good to see them blow up yesterday. But the one thing that they got to right the ship on, because I think the offense will figure itself out. I mean, they're not world beaters, but they're not this bad. And you feel good about the starting staff, certainly, besides the five spot. And bullpen, a bit of a work in progress. The thing that's frustrating to me and the thing that they got to figure out, and I think it's on Mattingly, but obviously it's on the players. But, you know, when Mattingly first got here or first took over for Thompson, it felt like there was a really big re-emphasis on little things, fundamentals, playing baseball the right way. And that slipped for the last month. And I obviously will focus in on Trey defensively.
Yeah, I mean, we have to.
It's
unbelievable. I mean, it's look, he's had problems with this the entire time he's been here. You know, it's that the offense has been the real struggle, but he has gone through these stretches. Last year was pretty good defensively, but the rest of his time here has been, you know, mediocre to bad. It looks like he's forgotten how to play the position at times. I mean, some of this stuff, I mean, the amount of routine balls that he is booting is like it, you get to the point where you start to worry that gets a mental thing, that it's a yips type of thing, you know?
Well, it's just that it's the every simple one right at him, he seems to overthink and mess up. It's the ones where he can just be athletic.
Yes, totally. Jack,
that he's fine. I still, at the end, like enough's enough. I mean, hand on the center field glove or left field glove at the exit meetings after the year. It's beyond time. I mean, not even just the booted balls in the infield. I don't know if they're ever going to turn a routine double play again. It's
unbelievable. You're right,
dude.
You're right.
Just oh my! Like we were so blessed to watch Utley and Rollins.
Oh my god,
as long as we did.
And even like Caesar and Galvis, and like we had like the team couldn't hit, but at least like that we had that, you know.
Cesar and like, I would die, frankly.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
it's not even Stott's fault. I mean, it's Trey. It's a noodle arm. I can't wait to watch someone who knows how to play shortstop again. I just can't wait. I can't wait. The bat's coming around. He's been really fine. His OPS better. Over 1,100 since the All-Star break. So he's breaking out from that standpoint, and they need his bat. We know like he's not here for his defense. He's here for his bat, but my goodness, the defense at shortstop is just horrendous. But even like them misplaying that ball on Saturday, Bohm and JT, like just go grab the freaking ball, Alec. We've dissected the base running mistakes of last week at nauseam. I mean,
Jagat, we haven't talked on this pod since we went to the Dodgers game together, but I mean, arguably the worst ending to a game of this run, which is other than Kirk Riggs is a playoff game. Like what the hell was that? I mean, and to your point, that's the kind of stuff that wasn't happening for 2.5 months, you know?
No, there's Jankowski in 2022. Coach Travis Jankowski was a big one.
Yes.
Who could forget that? But it's just that little stuff is going to come back and bite you in October. And it's frustrating when you see like the Dodgers be able to do the little things. And, you know, I actually think the Yankees and Phillies are pretty much the same team. Like they have their stars. They have a great pitching staff. They have a really good bullpen. And then like, now, defensively, they're probably better, but Volpe is like a disaster at shortstop. But like Lombard's probably going to be up anyway soon, so that'll rectify that situation. But yeah, that's been the thing. They're not playing crisp baseball. And in order for them to win a World Series, they have to figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
No matter what trades you make, but there needs to be a little bit more locked in-ness for this team to really get where they want to go. And that's been disappointing. And Mattingly's done a little too much of I don't know, like him and Hall in post game and not making everything seem like a big deal to where it does feel like Thompson, where I want you to get back to that's not good. I want to hear like that's not good enough. We'll clean that up. I want to hear that more rather than like I understood what he was thinking there and he knows he can't make that. It's like I don't want to hear that he knows. I want a little bit more stern from Don Mattingly.
Dude, 1,000,000,000% with you. And you pointed the Dodgers. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs last year with the wheel play, obviously. And the fact that it's so much more frustrating because like the Dodgers actually could afford to have a few mistakes. When you have all that talent, all those guys, like you can actually get by not always playing the crispest band of baseball. And yet they still play crisp baseball. Like this Phillies team can't. They are not as talented as the Dodgers. Like to beat a team like the Dodgers in a series, like they're going to have to make these little plays. They're going to have to do these things that give them those little bit of advantages because there is a deficit in talent. So yeah. It's super important.
Yeah. So I don't know what they could do the trade deadline to fix that issue, but would very much like that to be rectified as soon as possible.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. All right, let's get to some of the stuff from the Yankee series quickly. Before I do, though, I want everyone to get out their calendars on their phone, however they plan things, whatever you need to do to make sure that you do not forget this date. I will never forget the date because it is my wedding anniversary.
Nice.
My 15th wedding anniversary this year on August 13th. And you can hang out with us. We're going to be at La Scala's Fire in Northeast Philadelphia on Roosevelt Boulevard. We're going to be there on August 13th for the Field of Dreams game. Mm-hmm. Baseball movie trivia instead of Phillies trivia for the night. How about that? You're going to come up with some good ones. That'll be fun. We're going to be hanging out. It's going to be so much fun. And obviously, like, such a unique experience to actually get to watch your team in the Field of Dreams game. Should be so cool. So coming out, La Scala's Fire in Northeast Philly, August 13th. We'll tell you more about it coming up. But definitely save the date. We can't wait to see y'all.
Yeah. I mean, Scala's Fire is like kind of blowing up a little bit. They just put one.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they're good.
The
food is great.
The Iowa game will be cool. The Iowa game will be so cool. Very, very cool. A lot of cool.
Is this little... heaven? Jack, is this heaven?
No, it's Iowa.
It's Iowa.
Everyone says that. But
oh, yeah, it's the Field of Dreams. Yeah.
And their jerseys look really cool for it. So that'll be awesome. They've played in a lot of really cool things the last couple of years. I mean, London.
This year alone, really. I mean, yeah, London. But just having the All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby, and the Field of Dreams game feels special.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. So looking forward to it.
All right, let's get to the weekend, and then we'll move ahead to the minors and all the stuff.
Yeah, come on, man.
Oh, let's go. All right, so there's not too much. We hit on a lot of the stuff, but just any other takeaways from the weekend, the lack of bats, you know, Sanchi was okay, but didn't look as great. They won the game, but, like, the bullpen, you know, continues to outside of Bolin, Kirkring, and Duran, really, like, be a real issue. You know, Brian Keller, who's he? What's going on?
Yeah, so... Sanchi, so it was funny listening to Joey Votto. I thought Votto was great.
Dude, I thought he was so good.
And it was so funny. It was so funny because, you know, Kruk would do his thing where it's like, I don't know why they're doing that, Joe. And and Votto would be like, well, if you look at Grisham's last couple of bats, when he hits a ball to the other side, it's usually a squibber up the third baseline. So probably just protecting against that, if I had to guess. And then it's like, oh, okay. You know. So it was just refreshing hearing someone not dump all over the game and actually, like, talk about it in a positive light. So I thought that was much appreciated from Joey Votto. Now, he was definitely a little bit tight, you could tell. And there's a little portion in the middle of the game where he was a little too talkative. There was also a portion when he talked about Sanchi after he allowed like two runs or something. And he goes, you know, Sanchi has been perfect tonight. And I'm like, what, Joey? I mean, I'm like, I understand he hasn't allowed like a ton of hard contact, but he's also walked three guys by that point, and and the command hasn't been there. So, yeah, Sanchez is in a really – ever since the scoreless streak – you keep waiting for him to find it again. And the thing that's really lost with him is his changeup. Because, I mean, last night he threw his changeup 28%, and he usually throws it about 40%. And he threw a slider more than his changeup, which I feel like we never see. So, you know, I wonder if there's a little bit of... I wonder if there's, first off, a fatigue factor. Like, in the middle portion of the game, his velocity was like 93 to 94. Now, maybe that was... Sometimes they do that, I feel like, to get him back in the strike zone and then ramp back up when he needs to. You know, Lizardo, I believe, does that as well. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's fatigue. I don't know. But the fact that he's throwing his slider now more than his changeup is not the best.
It's concerning.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we all know with the change. I mean, the changeup is what makes him special, you know?
And I haven't seen the command on his fastball that we're used to him having. It feels like he can't dot the fastball on the inside corner against the right-handed hitters. It feels like when he tries to go in, he almost hits him or throws it at their back heel a little bit. So the good part about Sanchez is that his stuff's so good that he can get through six innings and still be very effective. It's just there to be the Chris Sanchez that we've been accustomed to seeing, he's got to get that back. And he's had periods like this over the last 2 years where it doesn't look right or felt right. And I mean, there's a time earlier this year where it didn't look right. And then he ripped off 50 straight scoreless. So it'll come back. I fully believe that. But that's kind of what I'm seeing right now from Sanchi. And it's going to be a little bit of a little turbulence right now until he kind of finds the arm slot again and gets the feel back on his changeup.
Yeah. And look, I think this just like we were talking about with Harper and Schwarber struggling, Marsh, like, it just highlights what we already know. This is a top heavy team that has stars who play at a high level and then guys who are not. And it, when those stars aren't functioning at the level that you need them to, the team suffers as a result. So like it just highlights kind of the way the team's built, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. So Sanchez, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to work his way through it. I thought Lizardo was brilliant.
Awesome, dude.
And has been,
you know, for a while now.
Yeah. I mean, there were 11-1 in his starts in the last 12. His ERA was 2.01 and heading into that game. It seems like he's figured out some of the home issues he was having. His ERA was like over 6 at home. And that's two straight, you know, pretty good starts or great starts at CBP. So yeah, I mean, Lazardo looks like he is leveled up and figured it out, and you know, makes one pitch to Goldschmidt, and that's it. That determines the entire game. So, yeah, I mean, those two were great. You need that. Wheeler on the mound tonight. You feel great about those three. Whatever happened on Saturday, I mean, like, you know, they piecemealed it together a little bit. They had a shot. You know, Keller, that's clearly a one-time, first-time ever seeing him in the big leagues. I mean, he's going to get smoked if they keep him up here. But, I mean, there's just...
How many Phillies fans do you think didn't know that Brad Keller was hurt and just assumed it was Brad Keller?
Probably
going a portion, to yeah, a lot exactly, of them. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of, I mean, I'm happy for him that he, you know, got his major league debut. Yeah, sure. He's gonna get a ring, and at the when they win the pennant, like Brian Keller.
Oh, I like this. This is good work, right?
Brian Keller's gonna get a ring. That's gonna be a good moment. But yeah, he can't last up here with that kind of stuff. He is who they brought up every single time in like 2016.
Oh my God.
Like the 2015 to 2017 ish Phillies. It was just Brian Keller's. Every single time they brought someone up, it was that, you know, 92 to 93, mm-hmm. nothing overpowering.
Way too familiar.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's like, I've seen Brian Keller. It's been a while since we've seen a Brian Keller type, you know, take a mound for this baseball team. So, yeah, I mean, a disheartening series. Story is the offense, but thankfully, they put one together last night. And
Yeah, 12 losses in a row, team you're facing now, and you hope that that's not going to
be. I wish the Marlins could have clutched up and won.
Me too, dude. It feels so like they're going to lose 2 or 3 because the Marlins have lost 12 straight.
Well, not only the Marlins have lost 12 straight, but the Jumbo Shrimp, the AAA team, has also lost 12 straight.
No way, really?
Yeah.
That, I wonder if that's ever happened. That's pretty stunning. Yeah.
I don't know. Last thing on the Yankee series.
Yeah.
And it's a good development. You know, you feel good about where Turner's at. You need Marsh and Schwarber and Harper to get going. I'm not even dealing with Boehm. Like, I hope.
Can we always walk people before him? Maybe that was it.
I just hope we have a new third baseman on August 4th. But
I saw that tweet too.
I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I don't need to pretend anymore that I think he's all right. I'm sick of it. He's also gone on the toilet. Whatever. Him talking after the game, like, oh, I don't want people thinking I'm an easy out.
Oh, like, I know.
It's like, dude, you're hitting 220 in July. Like, can we knock it off? You got one hit. Congratulations. It was a big hit. Much appreciated. But my goodness. Stott since July 1st. Yeah. Stott since June 1st, pretty large sample size, is 290, 775 OPS.
And so, the power.
It kind of like tapered off
pulling
there.
The ball a bit. But yeah, no, you're right. But still, it's been better.
Hey, if you go since May 1 and extrapolate over 162, he would have 18 home runs on the year.
Oh,
dude, 18 and 750. No, it'd be huge.
And gold glove defense?
Yeah, yeah. So he's been... like pretty good for a while. Like all of a sudden he's what, 252 with an OPS over 700.
You know, even 715 or something like that. I think something like that.
Even for how good Turner's been, his OPS is still under 700. Yeah. I mean, some signs of life on offense. They got to figure out. Now Brian De La Cruz has been like a nice little.
Was he like 5 for 7 or something? 5 for 8. Something 5 for 8 or something like that.
It's like, why do we have to do this a week before the trade deadline?
Of course, right? I know.
The biggest fury is a great week, and then they just like, oh, well, BDLC is our guy. Against, yeah. You know.
BDLC, I like that. That was good.
BDLC. The outfield is Gabriel Rincona still being up here is
crazy.
Insane to me. So, listen, I want him to be good eventually, but I also, he can't be playing.
He's not ready. Yeah, he's not ready. All right, let's get to the take bag. But first, shout out to Eddington House. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and Eddington House in Bensalem. Check out Eddington House for every Phillies game and enjoy $3.50 Miller Lite drafts and $5 Shandy drafts. Watch the game on their massive 20-foot screen. While 20-foot screen is huge. While fueling up on their legendary jumbo wings, Miller Lite's for Phil's wins. Celebrate responsibly. Shout out to you being a dad in the middle of the pod. This is great stuff.
There we go. Hold on. That was good timing.
That was perfect. Yeah, you got it done.
I had a certain amount of time where I was sitting
crushed
there.
Crushed it.
Yeah. All right. What are we talking about now?
We're bagging, buddy. The floor is yours now.
All right. What do you want first? No, I'll do all my other take back stuff and then.
Yeah, miners after. We always save the miners for save the best for last, Jeff.
Yeah.
But everyone's waiting. We want everyone to stay here and not leave, you know?
The most important thing. Yes. The most important thing. I guess I could have just talked about it. I'm talking about it over the weekend, but who cares? Is Jonathan Bolin just good now? Is he?
I think so. I think he's just good.
I think he's just good now.
What's his ERA? Is like 2.7 or something like that.
Man, that's a of all the Dave trades. Hold on, we're starting to heat up a little bit. Dude, Stroudy for this with 5 years of service time left? Come on, man. I mean, this is
no. You're right. Like, it actually, you know, if Bolin is a dude, like turns into a dude for you with the control, it could turn into a great trade. You're right.
They might have found an eighth inning guy, if not an eighth inning guy, a high level seventh inning guy. And that's an exciting development.
And real quick, not to toot your horn too much, but credit to you. When that trade happened, I think 99% of Phillies fans were like, Matt Strom's good. He's been good for us. They got mad at him and traded him for no reason. And they're getting some guy we never heard of. And you're in here like, I like Jonathan Bolin. That guy's good. Like, you said it from the jump. So,
well, not to take back the toot of my horn, but but I was not familiar with Bolin ball. And then we started digging into Bolin ball a little bit. By the way, Bolin ball is not bad if we're gonna be good. Bolin ball fastball. Anyway,
you watch him and you're like, this guy's good.
Yeah, listen, the fastball played and took a little while. I mean, he was of the crew of, oh, here we go, Bolin's coming in. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of relievers, is they can heat up and figure it out a little bit. We're doing perfect deadline on Thursday, I assume.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Thursday. That makes sense.
Thursday?
Sure.
So I think
I guess so. Theoretically, we do it like Monday next week, but like, why wait?
No, absolutely not.
I'm with you.
We got to do
it. So the deadline's what? Next Wednesday or Tuesday?
It's Monday. It's Monday.
It's actually Monday. I thought it was the 4th. It's the 3rd?
I know. Some members of the radio station were trying to petition for us to move the trade deadline to Wednesday, but Major League Baseball did not agree to that. So we're going to have our trade. We're at McGurk's on Monday.
Oh.
The trade deadline special. So, all right. So we're going to do a perfect deadline on Thursday. I think what I have to do for perfect deadline is perfect deadline and what I think's gonna happen.
Oh, good. Can't wait. Well, I agree with you. No, you should. I'm just doing perfect deadline. We need more from you.
Okay, great. Yeah. But there are a couple guys that I've been thinking about that I want to talk about that I think would be interesting. I think the pitcher that I want to get the most is Clay Holmes. Okay. And I know,
as like, a starter or reliever.
That's why. But that's why. Like,
no, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
So he's coming back from the broken tibia or fibula. I don't know. It's a broken leg. Okay. I don't know where the fibula and the tibia is. Who cares?
Tibia, but yes.
Whatever. Anyway. So Holmes won't break the bank. He has a player option for next year. So like, he could opt in. It's only $13 million. So it's not crazy. You're not. And it's going to be a shortened season, so it's prorated. Who cares? And
that's like almost $9 million more than LeBron's making. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Dude, the best it's the best contract in the history. It's unbelievable.
It is, absolutely. Yeah.
They're gonna make like $300 million on LeBron.
So crazy. I know.
Yeah. So with Holmes, so he was really good actually starting this year before he got hurt on a comeback, or he's pitching to like a 2.39. Has obviously been able to handle New York. He had 20 saves, 24, and 30 saves in consecutive seasons. So pitching in the back end of that Yankees bullpen. The only issue is a severe ground ball guy. And I don't know if you know this, but our defense sucks on the left side of the infield. So, well, bum's fine, whatever. But so the beauty of him is it could just be for the rest of the year. He could opt out. Who cares? But he is someone who has experience both starting and relieving. He could start for the rest of the year, and then you could put him into the bullpen in October if he's not one of your guys. So that's my pitch for Clay Holmes. I'm not saying to go, you know, get the parade route ready, but I do want to get out a Clay Holmes take before the perfect deadline podcast.
I think it makes a ton of sense. To your point, you know, the starter reliever thing, it's kind of a way to kind of serve both masters or whatever. I think it makes a ton of sense.
I think
he's healthy. Assuming he comes back and is good, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a leg. It's not an arm, at least, you know?
The power comes from the legs for pitchers, Jag. You're a pitcher. Come on.
It does. I gotta see which leg it's on. If it's like a push off.
If it's a push, yeah, it's a big one. Yeah.
I guess if it's landing, you feel better about. But maybe you're.
Oh, I think you. They're both. Yeah, I think you feel better about landing, don't you?
Yeah. Well, the only issue with landing is if you're a little hesitant to land. I don't know. We'll see. I kind of feel a hater move in my gut.
Hater? Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that would be something.
The Astros are going to trade him. They don't want the money on the books next year.
What's he got? One more year after this? Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I think it was a 3-year deal.
I can feel a hater move in my bones. I think I can feel a hater move.
Oh, can you imagine? Hey, Duran and hater at the back of the bullpen. That's
now, that's right there. Now we're cooking with gas.
Yeah, you get it, seriously.
You get a little crazy. Go get Paredes as well. He plays third base. Come Let's on, go. Man. You get Paredes and Hader in here. You ship Bohm out. Now, the package to acquire them would hurt my soul unbelievably so. But that'd be a pretty sick back end of the bullpen. And then last one is Hoffman, who...
Bring him home, you're saying?
He
struggled in Toronto. Has he gotten better? Because he lost the closer role to Louis Varland, obviously, and all that.
Well, as most people would, Louis Varland is
nasty.
Is the GOAT. Yeah.
I mean, Jeff Hoffman did give up the worst home run in their franchise's history and one of the worst in baseball history, too. So.
And he's owed money through next year. So you should be able to get him relatively cheap.
You would think.
But you look under the hood. You still 98 percentile on Chase, 98% on K percentage.
Good.
So there's still some good. Maybe getting back with Coffin would do well for Jeff Hoffman. And he wouldn't have to be the closer here. He would be.
No, well, that's important.
Seventh, him and Bolin, you know, seventh, eighth, and Kirk. He was weird here because he had some really big moments. I mean,
he was an all-star as a middle reliever, you know?
No, I know. I'm thinking about the postseason. Like,
he kind of really struggled for the most part.
But he also had the big moment in Atlanta in what was that, game one.
Yep.
So he had some moments, but he also he allowed a big sack fly Alvarado allowed a sack fly in game seven of the Diamondback series, and he allowed a hit. But yeah, he had one of those, and then obviously
that series really struggled.
Just dog bleep against the Mets. Yeah. But bring him home. Okay. did you know that was Trey's first triple of the season?
No, was it really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so that was surprising.
It's great.
That was surprising. And then last thing, I guess I could include a minor league minute, but I don't care. Spangler talked on Friday with Scott Boras. That was Friday. Yeah, it was the biggest.
Is Boras his agent?
Boras is his agent.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
And Boras was sitting right there, right next to him.
I'm sure.
It was the biggest signing in Philadelphia on Friday.
I almost texted you when I saw like the videos and stuff. And after the LeBron thing, I almost texted our thread with you and Tucker saying something along those lines. Like, Jack, clearly, why is everyone talking about this other signing when this is the biggest one? I knew you were going to go that way.
Yeah. Well, it was good because there's a video that the Phillies player development team put out. And it was him greeting Barber. And Barber said like something similar as well. He's like, oh. We're going to steal the headlines today.
That's great.
So much appreciated. But yes, Tyler Spangler signed. He talked and it was interesting. Now, obviously, there's some agent speak here, probably. It was funny. They asked about the back and he spoke first about it. And then, you know, Boras jumped in immediately.
Not surprised. Yeah.
I mean, the kid's 18, facing Philly media for the first time. Sure, I don't blame him. He actually seemed pretty laid back and chill, though. He talks like a California surfer. Not surprising, even though he's more of a North Cal guy. But he did say that he said it was a minor back thing, could have played through, but just to be cautious, we went this route. And
that's what you want
to
hear.
He's like, I'm good to go. I'm going to go down to Clearwater, start playing. All that good stuff. Awesome. So that was definitely a positive, I would say.
Massive.
I can't listen. I would never steal Spike's retweet Armageddon bit.
Oh, thing, yeah.
But the personal vindication I'm going to feel as all, everyone and their mother tweets me about the 29th ranked farm system because one publication, Baseball America, put out one thing about the farm system rankings, and now it's the Bible, you know. So it's just fact that they it's a fact they have the 29th ranked farm system. The personal Armageddon I'm going to go on when Francisco Renteria is up here, when Gage is going to be an Astro, when Aiden's back is just fine and he's turning into David right before our eyes, and Tyler Spangler is Corey Seager 2.0. Just I hope everyone gets off their little jokes now about the
Love this.
Farm system. Get your little jokes. Cause guess what? The 2030s are coming. All right. And that's when it's always been the Phillies decade, the 2030s.
Tucker, clip that audio and save it so we can play it when this happens.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of Francisco Renteria, do you see that video of him on?
Buddy.
Went down, ball down away, flicks it over the center field wall. The dude is special. 377 with an OPS over 1,000 as a 17-year-old in the DSL.
Untouchable.
All right.
Tears?
Minor league minute.
Yeah, okay, we'll get to the tears. Gotcha. All right. I'm snorting over here. All right, go ahead.
Kate Obermueller fired 4 no-hit innings.
Oh, yes!
Bang. And he got promoted to Jersey Shore today. Congratulations to Kate Obermueller, who is going to be finally saving Jersey Shore, who is horrendous this year. Just no interesting people on offense. But Obermueller is coming up to join a rotation with Ramon Marquez, who I know is your boy in the
Phillies. My favorite. Love him.
If you had to guess how many whiffs he generated in his start this week, how many whiffs do you think that Ramon Marquez started or had in 5 innings?
13.
24.
No, wait, really?
24 whiffs.
Really? That's actually really awesome.
I'm just saying, he might be the best pitching prospect in the system.
Wow.
He is awesome. So he is at Jersey Shore now. The Blue Claws are heating up. Gage's first 3 innings were unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, I was ready to fire off all the tweets. Bring him up. Like, you can't keep him down there. 4th and 5th got a little shaky. He looked pretty relievery to me on Saturday, where it's like, if you want to make him a reliever for the rest of the year, like, I think he's an impact day 1 reliever. But if you want to develop him as a starter and have him come up and start, that's not happening this year, because early it was 97, just a whippy breaking ball in Harrisburg. And then by like the 4th or 5th, he started to tire out a little bit. And it was like 94, 95, started getting hit around a lot more. So he looked pretty relievery to me on Saturday, but the first 3 innings were generational. And if they wanted to make him a reliever for the rest of the year, there's a lot of potential there. But I think you're starting to see maybe the first year of pro ball being over 60 innings now.
Sure.
He only pitched 40 the last couple of years at Arkansas. Might be starting to take a little bit of a wear and tear on old Gagey.
I'm sure. And look, I think we'll see after the trade deadline. He'll either be gone, or I think they'll try and do something with the bullpen thing, depending on what they trade for.
We will see. Brian Rincon had a big week, 3 home runs in his last 2 games, right on time for the trade deadline. I think they're probably going to trade him, but we'll see. I just think he's a good player. Reminds me of Brian Rocchio for the Guardians. So,
yeah, he's a good player.
And then Painter. So
Painter,
that was a very, very encouraging Painter start. And what makes me feel a little bit different or more positive on Andrew is there's times in like the 4th and 5th where he had runs on 1st and 3rd and less than 2 outs, 1 out or no outs. And he didn't crack. He like looks like he got a little angry. He started touching 99, which was encouraging. Actually started like blowing the fastball by some guys, which was awesome.
Wow.
So I think they may have found something with his fastball because the RPMs were up on it, like 200 RPMs more a little bit. So maybe starting to get some of the spin back. The problem was it wasn't consistent. Like the home run he allowed to my former baby boy, Tamar Johnson, it was a 95 mile an hour fastball that cut at the end, like more cut than when it usually has. And I don't think it was on purpose, and he blasted it. So I thought it was a very encouraging start from the fastball standpoint. He's changed. He's gone away from that split change a little bit. It's more like a Volcran changeup. So that's certainly something to kind of look at. It looked like he had pretty good command of it. And it was still like 90 miles an hour, still a good pitch. And I thought his breaking pitches were really, really on all day long. So that was the second start of the week, which I thought was really interesting. You know, the fact that they pitched him Tuesday and brought him back on Sunday. I mean, that's
good sign.
It's good. I mean, that's fast. That's kind of putting him to work a little bit.
Well, that's what he would do if he were pitching in the majors. Yeah, I mean, he'd have to be able to go on 5 days. So
yeah. So that was a good sign from him. And then just some guys that got brought up. So Cade is going to Jersey Shore. Marty Gare is going to Jersey Shore. Nathan Humphreys is going to Jersey Shore. Juan Villavicencio is going to Jersey Shore. He's still raking. His OPS is over 900 and he's hitting 300. So I can't wait to see what he does up at Jersey Shore. Griffin Burkholder is going up, even though he's not ready. And Afaribus is going up as well, their best catching prospect. So
love it.
So that is that. All right. The tiers. So you asked me to do this, I think, 3 podcasts ago. We got to it finally. And the idea is, like, who would you be willing to trade? Who is untouchable? Who is, like, I only trade if I'm getting a star? And who is probably going? So that's what I try to do for you, James, and only
this you. Is what I wanted. This is perfect. Thank you. I guarantee you our listeners are happy to hear this.
Just kidding. All right. So the untouchables, it's Aiden and Francisco Renteria. It's Aiden mostly because it's...
Because it would be a bad idea to trade him now. You're not going to get value and all that.
It's just a sell low, and I still believe in him. The only trading, if you're getting a real needle mover, but I don't actually want to trade, is Gage, Ramon Marquez, Juan Parra, Matthew Fisher, Yomar Samudio, and Samuel Ortiz. Samuel Ortiz, I moved down to guys I have values in trades that they might trade. He is not in that tier for me. Gage, I don't want to move, but like if he's a reliever and can help you get a package deal that can really help this team, I'd be okay with it, but not dying to trade. Ramon's getting damn close to untouchable. Like I would move Gage before Ramon.
Wow.
So
I love it.
He's 2 years younger.
Yeah.
And he has a better chance, I think, to stick as a starter than Gage. Juan Parra is this shortstop prospect that's probably valued as like a second round pick, that is showing really good signs at the DSL, hitting over 300. OPS, I think, is in the 900s now. And he was always a bad to ball guy, but he's starting to lift the ball more. He's really, really exciting. Matthew Fisher, we talked about him enough. He is 91 now. If he can get to 94, 95, there's a real high ceiling for him. And then Yomar Samudio had like a really electric first start, then really tapered off and then picked it back up. But he's 99 with a hammer breaking ball that I will see, but I'm not looking to move him as of right now. Guys that like, so when people talk about the system, how they don't have stuff to trade, this is start where we get into the people that do have value that they could trade if they wanted to. So Obermueller, I don't really want to trade, but I think he would have value as a second round pick last year. Cody Balker is showing really good strikeout numbers and has pitched really well at Jersey Shore. I think he would help in a trade. Brian Rincon, who we just talked about, I don't really want to move him, but I think that he would have value as a plus defender with a bat that started to really show some pop. Villavicencio, he is, again, a shortstop prospect hitting over 300 that would have. I'm surprised he's not like getting more buzz, and maybe if he goes off at Jersey Shore, he will generate more buzz. Farabus, again, I think he's the catcher of the future, so I wouldn't be looking to move him, but catchers always have value in trades. Alex McFarland, same deal. Of course, he came up, made one appearance, and then right back to AAA. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. And then these are guys who I think are going to get traded, and I think they would help them in trades, is Pond from Reading. He's been up to 100, is a really interesting reliever prospect. Raylan Heredia, he has a 3% walk rate, I think, but wow. He's hitting 282 with a lot of doubles. He is strictly he's here to hit. You know,
yeah, bat to ball. Yep.
Bat to ball, plays a solid right field, got a good arm. And I think a team would take a shot on him for sure. And then Brad Pacheco, who I think he's a little starter for Clearwater. throws like a bunch of different pitches. Kind of seems like he's always tinkering a little bit, but has a good fastball, good feel for some spin. And I think that that teams would be interested in him in a deal. And then Arun Escobar and Dante Norrie, you're just selling too low at this point.
So that was going to be, and I guess Painter you would include in that too, right? The sell low thing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Painter's kind of been, Painter would be in the, I'm only moving, I'm getting a real needle mover. He's not an untouchable, but I'm not looking to trade him. And then Arun just, it seems like it's always a 2-year plan.
Such a shame too with Arun, because I mean, a year ago he was on some lists, you know?
Yeah, I think he's just, they might have pushed him a little bit too quickly to AA. And it does seem like this is always a 2-year plan for him at AA. This is not like a you should be here kind of thing. And then Norrie's just been hurt and seems like he's working his way back. And, you know, he was hitting 300 for a large portion of the first month or whatever. And then I think the injury happened. He cratered him. So that's it. That
great
is,
job, dude.
That is my tears.
That was good work by you.
It's my tears.
Love it. All right. You got anything else before we get out of here?
Do I have anything else? I don't think so.
Because we got to go work on a perfect deadline. I mean, it's going to take at least 4 days, 3 days to get it together, you know?
A lot of work we got to do for the next couple of days, figuring out what this team should do and what this team should not do. And we'll see. Maybe they make a move before we even do it.
Wouldn't that be something? All right. So we'll be back Thursday, or if they make a move before then. But otherwise, we'll be back Thursday with our perfect offseason. Remember, August 13th, La Scala's Fire on Roosevelt Boulevard in the Northeast, coming out with us. We'll be back Thursday to preview the deadline. Perfect deadline. Let's go, please. All right, we're getting close. All right, until then, here's Fritz and Seltzer.